Come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast, the movie review and talk show podcast comes your way every Saturday. Whether you're ready for it or not, whether we're ready for it or not.
I think Colin's ready for it.
We're easing into it this week.
We're easing out of it. That's what it feels like.
Easing out of consciousness.
Yeah. Join us, won't you?
Please.
Let's disassociate together, guys. Next 30 right, seconds of dead air.
For the next hour. Yeah.
Well, in our quest to conquer the galaxy and all its known realms, we need your help with that. And please go over to wherever you found us and hit that like or subscribe button. All of that stuff helps us get found by other like-minded folks like you. These are the internet radio superstars.
Ali.
Michaela.
Sean.
And I'm Colin. And tonight we watched a movie that was chosen by...
Sean. What did we watch tonight?
We watched... Paul Verhoeven's Oscar-nominated Hollow Man.
I'm sorry. For effects? What? It's got to be for effects, right? Or editing or something?
Well, it wasn't for script. It was for special effects. It lost to Gladiator.
Really?
Yeah.
Visual effects.
Visual effects.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Because Gladiator, you can't see them.
Right. Right. Although you can see them. Go back and watch Gladiator. Yeah.
Really? I haven't rewatched Gladiator in...
I don't think it's crazy, but I've seen
that movie a lot.
Yeah. I think there's some animals in there. You're just like, well, that's CG. Yeah. But
there's like tigers and stuff, and they look pretty good.
Right, and they had to rebuild the arena and everything.
Yeah, that's it's set extensions. Yeah. So,
they rebuilt the Colosseum. It's pretty impressive. Yeah.
You said what year this was from?
2000.
Okay.
2000.
Paul Verhoeven is coming off of Starship Troopers from 1997. This would be his last American film.
I can't imagine why.
Well, I think I read an interview with him, and he said that, Paul Verhoeven is an artiste, and so he has things to say in movies, and he said that his other movies felt like him, but he said even watching Hollow Man, it felt like anyone else could have made this movie. There's other directors who could have made the movie, and it would have turned out exactly the same. Mm-hmm.
His voice did not shine.
Yes, I guess that's a question
I
had.
He's wrong.
Tonight, did it feel like a Paul Verhoeven movie?
At times.
Sometimes.
At times.
Yeah.
What about it made it feel like a Paul Verhoeven movie?
The extremity. His movies are usually pretty extreme when they commit to something.
Yeah, as far as like
violence
it gets surprising at certain points. But the violence, there is a certain seediness to it. Maybe?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little sleazy.
Areas.
Yeah.
It's a little grimy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's kind of a little I don't know how would you.
Is that what we know Paul Verhoeven for? Like he is a
grimy sci-fi.
Gritty.
Is he a sleazy filmmaker?
Kind of.
He makes sleazy movies. I mean, made Basic Instinct.
He makes pretty exploited.
Definitely exploited movies. Yeah. If there's an element to it, well, you know, whether it's violence or nudity or what have you, he will exploit it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his latest ones, I confess, I haven't seen. I did see like Black Box.
People liked that, right? I didn't see that.
Yeah. Mm. But even that had a scene of, I don't know.
Exploitation.
No, it was like humiliation that went like Jesus Christ.
Wasn't Benedetta very extreme?
The ads pitched it that way, which is kind of, I guess, why you want to see it. But I never actually did, follow through. Prior to coming to America, he made a bunch of Dutch movies that I think were with Rutger Hauer that were well received. I never saw Spetters, Soldier of Orange. And then eventually he came here with like RoboCop, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Total Recall.
Did those big, Hollywood science fiction movies that topped his career with the Showgirls. You're saying that this was before Showgirls?
It's after Showgirls.
After Showgirls? After, really?
Oh, wow. No, that's a sleazy movie.
That's a really sleazy movie. He's leaning into it. But then I feel the writer, that's like a Joe Esterhaus movie. So Basic Instinct and Showgirls are Joe Esterhaus.
You mentioned the writer of this movie.
There's three of them, yeah?
Well, I don't think there's one.
Oh, okay.
Who wrote this movie?
Andrew Marlowe.
Do we know Andrew Marlowe?
You know Andrew Marlowe. He hasn't done a lot, but what he has done, as far as writing for film, he has done Air Force One.
Oh, okay.
From 1997.
Okay.
End of Days.
Oh, wow.
Ah.
And this movie.
Wow, okay.
TV, he was a writer on a writer and co-executive producer on Castle.
Okay.
So Andrew Marlowe is the guy who had to do all the science research for this movie.
Yeah, basically.
So we can have science fights at the end of this movie, which I actually did kind of appreciate on this watch.
Battling science montages. Yeah.
I'm not sure he's going to make it to the wall because I don't think Brent ever brought Air Force One.
Air Force One.
Yeah.
No, you guys brought Con Air, right?
Right. We can't bring Air Force One's too good.
I know.
Get off my plane.
That one's never coming here, so he's not going to go on the wall.
Yeah.
Too bad. 2 out of 3 is pretty good.
Well, the Hollow Man.
We can always watch a couple episodes of Castle.
just to bring Andrew Marlowe onto the wall.
Mm. No. Andrew.
That's Nathan Fillion, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I do like him. So.
Yeah. So this is an Invisible Man movie.
Tis.
Not your dad's Invisible Man movie.
No.
That's pretty much the attitude of this movie.
Right. We're bringing it. It's a new era. A new era of Invisible Man.
Before I came here, my brother asked, what movie are you watching today? And I said, Hollow Man. And he was really confused because he thought it was Invisible Man. I was like, no,
but it isn't.
I was like, no, you're thinking of the good one that just came out in the last few years. I'm like, this is Hollow Man.
Right.
This is different.
It has a creepy title, The Hollow Man.
Well, it also, it speaks to the character of Sebastian Cain himself.
Yep. Yeah. I looked it up because I was like, I'm a big fan of Apocalypse Now. And at the end, Kurtz is reading The Hollow Man. So it's a poem, I think, by T.S. Eliot. I was going to say T.S. Eliot, but I'm not positive. But yeah, so that's where the title comes from. It's a good creepy title. A Hollow Man. He's an invisible man. And this is Columbia Pictures. They don't owe the rights to the Invisible Man. That's Universal, right? So they were doing all of the Universal horror monsters, but doing them their own version. Bram Stoker's Dracula, Wolf, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. And they got their Invisible Man movie, I guess, with this one. The era, so like I remember, there was a movie called The Man Who Wasn't There.
Yeah,
anyone with Steve Guttenberg? It was a comedy thriller, like a comedy thriller, and he was the Invisible Man.
I think we need to do this on the freak show.
I've thought about bringing it.
I have it. Yeah,
because I love
in
Steve
3D.
Guttenberg.
I'm getting vague 3D. Recollections of this movie.
I fucking love Steve Guttenberg, so I thought about bringing it.
I love the goots.
But it was, the technology at that time was the 80s 3D revival. Mm-hmm. So they did the Invisible Man effects, but in 3D.
Cool.
You know, you could see it, right?
Interesting.
So then when was Memoirs of an Invisible Man, the John Carpenter?
Yeah, I got to look that one up.
Because that, I think, was the first one from the CG era, right? Where you could have, you could actually digitally remove the actor and like see through the holes in his mask.
Yeah, you know? 1992. There was a lot of digital in that movie, but it's also like the, if you go back and look at it, the practical effects that they do in that movie are also like huge and spectacular. At one point, half the office building disappears.
Yeah,
and they built an office building that's just got like it makes it look like panels have just vanished off of it. It's pretty cool. The movies went back and watched it recently. Not the best, but visual effects still stunning.
I guess the irony to me then is the most recent version of the Invisible Man is like fairly low tech in its special effects.
Yeah, extremely.
Mm-hmm. Where it seems like Invisible Man movies were building up to this one. Like this is the one with the biggest budget, the most expensive, extravagant, and like, oh my God, blow your mind visual effects, right?
Yeah, because once you get that idea of like, let's see what would the transformation of an Invisible Man look like?
Mm-hmm.
How do we do it? Instead of just, you know, fading between a character who took a serum of some sort and then he just fades. And he's gone, and they're just like, oh, he's invisible.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have the technology and the money to do something.
By, like, layers. And it's, you actually see, like, the Medicaid, the serum moving through all of his veins, and then slowly.
Still very cool.
It's because the camera's able to, like, track it, and it does seem like, you know, that because of motion tracking capabilities, it's like, wow, that thing looks like it's actually in the set with the folks. It's pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
It's so spectacular that they do it 3 times in the movie, which I was kind of like, okay, we get it. You know, are you bringing something more to this?
I think they're just really proud of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Look what we can do.
But also, this is where I first start to have problems with this movie, because we see footage of the characters watching the procedure on the gorilla, where they bring the gorilla back. on a TV, and in that footage, it's completely practical effects and looks completely different than what we saw.
Yeah.
That is what a the hell? Different gorilla. That is a melting gorilla. That is a gorilla they tried to bring back and is melting on the table. So that is a different procedure than the one we witnessed earlier.
But it's but the procedure is done in not at all in the CG effect that we just saw.
No, and I think because why it's going to be on a monitor, they can get away with it more.
I don't know. It was a weird choice because it looked so different.
Yeah.
It did.
It looked out of place with the rest of the movie.
The failed experiment or whatever that we did before. But we do see the effect three times. Once on a gorilla, twice on Kevin Bacon himself.
Kevin Bacon's in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The star.
Mm-hmm. The star. Well, I think technically it's Elizabeth Shue. But yes.
Did she get first billing?
She gets first billing, and I think she got I think she was first in the credits at the end too.
Is this her first action movie?
No.
Well, action Adventures movie? In Bacon. Yeah. I mean this scale, Adventures this is like I guess, you know, I'm trying to think back of, because I don't know if that I've seen this movie in a very long time, and it seems like it's a combination of like a horror movie, a science fiction movie, and like a big scale, big budget Hollywood.
Are you saying that Karate Kid's not action?
Action movie.
You're saying that Back to the Future is not action? I will say it's not.
Not to the same with stunts.
It's not like that. Yeah.
Stunt work, you know, people hanging from elevators and shafts that are burning as the elevator car itself is careening down the...
All right.
Yeah.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves here. There's a lot to talk about, I feel like. With
the Saint?
The Saint, yeah.
Not really an action movie. It's more of a thriller.
It's like a Bondian kind of.
Yeah.
But it's an action movie.
I mean, Blind Justice looks pretty action-y. It's a TV movie from 1994.
I probably watched it then. It's an action movie from the 90s.
Yeah, I think it's sexy too, because just based on the like poster and then that first picture. Oh wait, hold on, that first picture that popped up.
Oh okay, I was like the other one's like a baseball field. Yeah. I was like, what are these two guys standing in baseball?
Right, so I'm like, that's not. Is that sexy, Sean? It's like, no, it was the previous picture. It was Elizabeth Shue.
So Kevin Bacon is the Invisible Man in this movie. He is, I mean, I guess in every Invisible Man movie, the Invisible Man is the monster
of
the movie.
He's total trash.
But he doesn't need to become invisible to be a monster.
He's already
trash.
This
is really important to point out for this story, I think.
This is very important that...
He's an asshole from the get-go. I will give it a little bit of leeway in the fact that at this time in pop culture, we were doing the Dr. House thing of, I'm really good at this one specific thing, so I don't have to be polite to anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that is this character's attitude, and I get that 100%. It was like in the water at the time, but it's still too much for a movie.
Yeah.
This character is just too much.
Well, I suppose because I've never seen, I don't think the tragedy of the Invisible Man. You know, that's the Wolf Man. I guess is the person who's got the affliction. They transform.
But you can't even say he's driven mad in this movie because he starts off that way.
Okay, so that I guess is my thing with this, and I didn't know if it was supposed to be like you're seeing like a sympathetic person who goes, goes crazy. No. And then it's like, but he's like an asshole, like right from the jump.
No, he's egomaniacal.
Yeah, because they keep on, what are the recurring...
Well, it's because everybody around him keeps calling him a fucking genius. Like, you're a genius. Like, that's half of the beginning of this movie. You're a genius.
And
you're a genius.
How many
genius.
Times...
That doesn't mean you can
either...
be also be a rapist.
No, yeah. I'm not saying...
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not saying it is.
That's what I'm saying, though. It's the Dr. House thing. I'm so good at this, you all have to bow down to me.
Yeah.
And I don't owe anybody anything because I'm blessing you all by existing.
Yeah.
Well, there's...
Literally calling himself God.
Literally
that's
God.
There's constant allusions to him being God. They think, I mean, that's even like at the end of the movie, like how you're not God, all this other stuff. So the position is that like being invisible grants you godlike powers because you're a phantom and you can be a ghost and you can move
the Holy Spirit.
And you can have super strength too, apparently.
Yeah, and a healing factor.
Yeah.
A lot of things kind of come along with this. All right, so he's a scientist and she's a scientist.
Mm-hmm.
The two of them have had a relationship in the past.
Naturally.
Mm-hmm. Which is very...
Close nights. The fire from the beaker sparkling in her eye.
I mean, they're stuck in this bunker, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. They work in a bunker that's a big 90s, late 90s era Hollywood set.
Yep.
And it's pretty cool set. They put a lot of money into this, it feels like.
It does feel like a massively budgeted movie.
It's like $95 million. $50 million went to special effects.
Good God!
Else,
so. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, you see it all.
Yeah, I know it's on the screen. Mm-hmm. Josh Brolin's also Josh in this movie.
This movie.
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm.
Because now he's like the third character in this love triangle, yes, right?
Yeah, he's the clean cut nice guy.
And he's currently dating Elizabeth Shue.
Yeah.
In secret.
So Kevin Bacon's character, like, I guess when Sean proposed bringing the movie last week, Holly and Michaela had a very strong reaction.
We were appalled. Yeah.
Very appalled.
appalled by the movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because sexual assault is a plot in this movie.
Literally, the first night that he's invisible, he sexually assaults one of his coworkers.
He sexually assaulted every woman he worked with in
every single one.
And his neighbor. Like, it's ridiculous.
It's like the first thing he goes to.
Yeah. It's just...
Okay, if the guy is literally in his robe, naked, on his way to going to become invisible, and is telling a very long-winded rape joke, maybe this isn't the guy to make invisible.
Maybe. I had that,
like,
exact
he's literally
same
walking
thought.
Up to get the juice put in telling this rape joke.
What's the joke, McKay?
It's a gross it's Wonder Justice Woman League Justice joke. League joke. Yeah.
It's a gross joke.
If you've seen the movie, you remember it. Yeah.
Justice League joke.
Yeah. It's stupid.
Was the Invisible Man in the Justice League?
No.
So the joke makes no fucking sense.
Oh, wait.
No.
Was there a Fantastic Four guy who could go?
The Invisible Man in his joke.
Right.
Yeah.
He did. I was waiting. I was like, shouldn't it be a superhero who could go invisible? One of those?
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe we didn't, and that's why he's like, it's got to be the Invisible Man.
He's just writing gross fan fiction now at this point.
And he like acts like they should be laughing. I'm like, well, you threw in a new figure. Like, of course they're not laughing. You just made up a superhero. Yeah, that makes no sense.
It's a bad joke, and it doesn't make sense.
So stupid. But I agree with you. One of them, either Josh Brolin or Elizabeth Shue, should have been like, you know what? Let's put a pin in this. Yeah. Because that was a very rapey joke.
Yeah.
And I don't trust him.
You know that all the psychological testing you have to go through to be an astronaut?
Yeah.
Doesn't that apply? I know that the whole point of the movie is that, like, he's God and he doesn't follow rules. But, like, that's why rules exist.
Right. Like, they all just collectively are like, you know, he goes by his own rules and he's not a good guy. Like, they collectively
They all know
this.
It. Because there's a bunch of people on this on the staff of this thing. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's not just the three of them. There's they have a whole staff.
Oh, yeah. Greg Grunberg's in this.
Yeah. Joey Slotnick.
Slotnick's in this.
And Kim Dickey.
Kim Dickey's in this. Yeah.
It's basically, I guess, my memory of the movie, you know, because it had been a while. I'm like, well, what do you remember about that? You know, I remember the climax. I remember bits and pieces about the plot. And I remember the monkey disappearing in the three big scenes. But it does kind of, on this watch, you're like, okay, this is the Invisible Sexual Predator movie. And it's established, like, right off the bat. I think when we first meet his character,
he's Sebastian leering at his neighbor.
Yeah. He's leering at his neighbor across the way, you know, as she's like getting home from work and taking her shirt off, and then she closes the blinds.
She closes the blinds, it's a problem for him.
So it's setting up, and then, so I was watching like the structure of the movie then. It's like, it's setting that up and foreshadowing like right from the get-go. So you're like, okay, it's an Invisible Man movie. And then at some point, I mean, I've seen other Invisible Men movies where like at some point somebody goes into the girl's locker room, you know, and that's usually as far as it goes. Paul Verhoeven's like, all right, we're going to go even further.
Yeah. This is why I said seedy earlier. It's him exploring kind of maybe only those elements of this whole thing.
Yeah. And at one point after he's been invisible and he like goes out in the city, even his coworkers like, did you do anything? Did you like scare anybody? And then he implies that like there was a girl who's like, oh, what happened? And I'm like, these people are way too on board with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just that, like, specifically that one guy. I think Greg Grunberg, he's the dude bro, you know, like, yeah, man.
Yeah. Looking
like,
at awesome. Porn at work later on.
Yeah.
And he nothing else idolizes the, you know, the I guess temperament, the personality of Dr. Kane in some way.
It's a problem.
Yeah. The other people I don't think are as much on board with it as he is, but they don't seem to come
He's like, sweet man, that's basically his attitude for it.
But they're not coming to the, like, you know, like, well, you were out there, I guess we'll get to that, but it builds to the, you know, like, if it sets up at the very, very beginning, you know, there's this woman across the way. It builds up to that moment where he visits her. And then after that, it becomes, how do we stop him for like the last half of the movie, yeah. right? Mm. That's basically the build.
But yeah, but the problem...
With Chekhov's rape in there.
Seriously. But the problem starts so much earlier because, I mean, they really do know that he's a shit person. Mm-hmm.
Make the shittiest person we know invisible.
Like, they already know he's a shit person. And then later on, they're like, is your brain turning? I'm like, what do you mean turning? He's always been an asshole. Like,
yeah, exactly.
This is so stupid.
And that's... The story gets this fucked up because when the gorilla Isabel is invisible and she bites
Josh Brolin
on the hand, he says something like, oh, she's been gone so long, it's affecting her brain.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's making you think that, yeah, the procedure is going to turn him into an asshole. But no, he always, there is no transformation because he always was an asshole.
You know, as I'm thinking back on that, I think both of the, so there's two pieces of dialogue. Mm-hmm. That one is the setup, mm-hmm. and the payoff is somebody says, like, you know, he's been, you know, it might be starting to affect his brain. And mm-hmm. both of those lines could have been delivered in post-production
yep.
as an addition to the movie.
Yep.
So, and I'm like, well, why would you do that? It's like, does that excuse his behavior later? Like, the audiences couldn't. Well, not excuse it.
Yeah.
Explain it like
I think they're trying to, but it doesn't work.
No. Yeah, I mean, I would assume audiences are smart enough to watch that and just go like, no, this guy's an asshole to begin with. Yeah. The idea that power totally corrupts him, and right. you know, he's just able to work out his worst impulses yeah. because he can't be held responsible. He can't be seen for
like,
it.
Every time he's alone with Elizabeth Shue, he's like on top of her, trying to like force himself on her.
Right, yeah.
Like from the beginning of the movie.
Yep.
It's every female character.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and there's, I guess, the relationship that she has with Josh Brolin. There's always sexual tension between, like, many of the people in the cast, mm-hmm. it yeah. seems like. So that is a theme that Verhoeven is trying to, you know, work on. But again, I think it's, like, leading up to that, mm-hmm. the moment. So they've discovered the secret of invisibility.
Yes.
That was the easy part.
Yeah, they've turned many animals invisible. It's reversion. Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
It's reversion.
Yeah.
Getting them back. That has yeah, not worked so right. far. They've melted quite a few animals.
And okay, so the movie starts with trying to turn Isabel back. He finally got it stabilized after clicking around on whatever the software is to stabilize.
He's building
this
molecules.
Science software where you
which,
click
I
molecules.
Mean, which this is also another clue right off the bat, because it's just like, he puts in the thing and then unstable pops yeah. up. And yeah. you can kind of see his reflection in the thing. You're just
I love the box. So it's like unstable or stable. And I'm like, that's an error message. Yeah. It would right. just say error.
Yeah. It's perfectly around his face in the reflection, though. Yeah, it's great.
I love somebody similar did. There was like some movie. There was a small behind the scenes thing about the guy who creates the computer interfaces you see.
Oh my
in
god, I want to watch
like
that.
The fake ones. You're just like, yeah. that's not real. It's yeah. like the guy who creates them for each thing and everything.
That's so cool.
Pretty interesting yeah. to have that job.
Yeah, I know.
Right. I create the fake computer interfaces.
Is like right. one guy?
Movies.
He's so good at it that they keep on calling yeah. him up. Like, you can come up with an operating system that's yeah. But
this monkey, this gorilla has a heart attack when it's coming back.
Yep.
And to me, it's so comedic seeing this half invisible gorilla get the paddles.
Paddles, yeah.
It's they animated this. Like some animators spent hundreds of thousands
yeah.
of hours
yeah.
making a gorilla have half invisible heart attack.
Yeah.
Like it's and this is just the opening of the movie. Like we see this type of scene mm-hmm. constantly.
Yeah.
I know. I wonder
impressive.
If it would have been it's jaw dropping.
Yeah.
It truly is.
But like, would it have been better if they only saved it, worked up to it, and did it once? I mean, the fact that you see it so many times.
This is 2000, Colin.
Yeah, and they're we have this.
The money.
Yeah.
We have all the lights. We're going to show you everything.
I mean, I'm pretty fascinated by it every time it happens.
Oh, okay. So yeah. you want to see more. Okay.
Oh, no, I'm good with seeing it every time.
It's yeah. really not the most offensive part.
No, it might be the most interesting part of the movie,
yeah,
honestly.
It truly is. Because you look for it. You're just like, because we've seen bad special effects in movies and everything. And so you're just looking for the seams and everything.
Yeah.
And while it doesn't look like exactly photorealistic, mm-hmm. they're doing a fucking good job. Like
just, the detail.
Yeah.
Is like,
the detail is great.
Yeah.
The distance of
for
when
2000?
They.
This looks amazing.
Right.
Yeah.
For 2000,
yeah.
the detail when they push on where the body should be,
yeah.
what's below it and everything,
yeah.
like even looking at stuff later on where you're just looking through one side of his mask throughout through the other eye hole.
Right.
Like everything they did lines it. Up
yeah.
Perfect.
It looks really good.
Yeah,
I
really
liked good. When he's sitting at the computer and it's straight back through his eye holes and you see the back of the head mask.
Yeah.
The curve and everything moves with the eye tracking. Yep.
And they did like light, like he stepped from hard light to soft light and like the back, you could see through the eye holes changed lighting. And I'm like,
there's a lot impressive. To appreciate in the technical aspect.
Lost out to Gladiator.
Yeah.
Lost to Gladiator.
I mean, and
I don't think gorillas had heart attacks in that movie. So
I would
this one should have won.
You're right.
Yeah.
But they did have CGI tigers that looked really good.
Yeah.
Really good. But we didn't have like computer generated Russell Crowe Peen.
Yeah,
we did in this.
I'm glad that Verhoeven at least is an equal opportunity exploiter with that kind of stuff.
This is for you, Michaela. There is a lot at least you get dong.
There's Kevin Bacon goes the distance,
you get
man.
Bacon
His
dong.
Things flop. I mean, but this it's always Kevin Bacon dong. You know what I'm saying? Like it's always.
So now
like,
you're bored. You get it.
Yes. Okay. Sean, old news.
It's full frontal. Let's call Bacon.
Yeah, exactly. This is the second time we've seen it on this podcast.
Who do we call? Bacon.
We did Wild Things not
Somebody
that long
get
ago.
Bacon. I would love to be his agent. Yeah. Somebody find Bacon.
Yeah, because, I mean, I guess if you think about it, like, as the invisible, you are, I mean, you're only invisible when you're naked. So he's running around naked the whole way through the movie.
Freezing. Yeah,
he's bouncing around.
But there's all those, like, moments where, like, he gets the water on him or he's underwater.
Thrashing on the bed, even.
Or thrashing on the bed, like, when he's, like, half muscly skeleton. Yeah. Like, there's always the peen.
He's flopping around there.
Flopping around. Yeah. And it's enjoyable.
Yeah. And the thermal vision one was probably actual him.
Yeah, I love it.
Right,
That's great.
So they...
A great transformation process, especially when it gets down to just the skeleton.
Oh my God.
Which we all decided while watching this that we would be perfectly fine if he was just a skeleton.
Because it felt like it was going to stop there for a second and get stuck because it lingered too long on the skeleton.
It truly did. And they're just like, oh, it is disappearing.
But when they pulled away, though, there was a second where I felt like you could see it shift from being a CGI skeleton to a physical skeleton on a bed, like a prop, like prop store skeleton. It was right when she goes to pull the tube and says, I think he's in shock. Like it moves a little bit in a way. You're like, you could see the cut between the two.
I'm sure they had something there. They didn't cover up too much.
But man, saying that I think he's in shock when it's just a skeleton.
Oh, skeleton's in shock.
Like, how can you tell?
Well, he does go invisible. And then I think the experiment, or no, before he goes invisible, they have discovered how to bring, like, how to reverse the effect, right?
So they do it on the gorilla, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the gorilla comes back. They're phasing in and out of whatever, the visual universe or something they say at a presentation to the Pentagon because they're employed by the
take
government.
To the committee.
And they work in this underground bunker. Mm-hmm. And it's... so he ends up... they end up...
Kevin Bacon lies to the committee.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And says that they haven't quite... They haven't quite perfected yet, but they're
even
close.
Though they have,
even though they've cracked it.
That makes a good point. They'll take it away if they figure out that
he's not wrong. But,
And this is his big act of hubris because he's like, you know, I'm God. I can do whatever I want. It's my project. And so he's going to move into the human trials, right? On himself. And so away he goes.
Elizabeth Shue and Josh Brolin are there with him, and they keep it quiet so that they can move on with the next part of the trial without telling the committee.
Complicity.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you got going on there. I was never quite sure. I mean, I guess, like, you know, so they could keep their funding or whatever, but I was never quite sure why they were going along with it as long as they did.
Right.
I think it's a situation where he's just like, it's kind of like being under like a cult leader. Like they're a sociopath and they're doing all these things you don't agree with, but for some reason you go along with it just because you're kind of brainwashed into the situation. Like they've been underground doing this experiment for like 11 years or however long it's been. Like at this point, I feel like they're probably in it enough and manipulated enough by this guy to just go along with it.
Right. And they also, I'm pretty sure that they can't, they think they can't, do this without him.
So they're
giving him a lot of leeway in that. Yeah. Like, well, if he's gone, unfortunately, like, that's it.
And I suppose he's the boss, so the funding gets cut off and all that other stuff, but, you know, So they do it. They but they haven't told the rest of the team.
Right.
I guess so. The rest of the team doesn't know that they haven't got approval to do what they're going to do. And so then they do administer the formula to him and render him invisible. He's supposed to be invisible for 3 days. And so, okay, they're going to monitor him, you know, and on, I think, so, I mean, like what?
And on minute 29, rape. Yeah. Well, as it goes out.
Yeah. Seriously.
That eventually, like he, they try to bring him back and it doesn't work, but the buildup, like the very first thing that I think he does, right? Is he does go to Kim Dickey while she's sleeping.
The first thing he does is assault his coworker.
His
coworker that he was previously like harassing and talking shit to and saying like, why did I even hire you? So there's also like a power dynamic play here, because this is his employee that he hates.
She tries to undermine him many times because she's a veterinarian and she's very much for the animals that are being tested on. And he's very much, oh, they're just test subjects.
Yes.
So they've got that dynamic where they're always battling over that.
But his like theory for this project was really out there, because they brought the gorilla back and then he immediately wanted to kill it and dissect its brain. I'm like, bro, you just brought it back. Like, let's do some tests and research on is its system all fucked up now? Right. How do you come back from that?
How's its personality now that it's back? Yeah. Right. And you know, see itself.
And that's what his coworkers said. They're like, you're joking, right?
Right.
And he's like, oh yeah, I'm joking.
He's like, I'm joking. As he's cutting a gorilla.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, well, we know this guy is like, you know, but that's his priorities, right? He's like, he's off. But yeah, I guess like that first, you know, thing, it's this escalation, right? At that point, she's asleep. And so he's basically undressing her while she's asleep and then, you know, sneaking back to his bed before, you know.
Undressing her and feeling her up.
Yeah. And so it's that kind of escalation of what he can get away with, right? He then, what does he do after that? Because before he actually goes out, like, he's fucking around with everybody there. I think basically
the one girl goes to the bathroom and he definitely watches her pee in the bathroom.
Yeah,
he's sitting around while they're all talking shit about him in the conference room.
He has part of the thing that will later play into the action movie climax of this movie is they all have infrared goggles that they can put on. So
you wouldn't know it.
Seriously,
for as much as they get used in this,
so they can watch, or the thermal goggles, they can see.
Heat signature. There's also cameras throughout the lab.
Thermal cameras
that are watching, you know, some of their animal subjects that have turned invisible and whatnot. And they do this little dance, because I don't think it's digital. They do this little dance where certain characters, when they're on the movie camera but also on the thermal camera, they have to choreograph their movements in and out of the camera spot to match with what's going on.
Yeah.
It's like pretty good. Yeah.
Well, it's like we shot on a different day, but
right. But we got to match it up here on set right now.
There's a dynamic between him, Sebastian, and Elizabeth Shue's character and Josh Brolin's character, right? Mm-hmm. Because as you said, they used to date. But like, how do you describe the relationship that they do have?
Those three?
No, well, specifically Kevin Bacon and Elizabeth Shue.
It's
contentious, to say the least.
He's still harassing and antagonizing her, but sometimes she says things in a way that seem flirty. Like,
right, she's playing it sexy.
Yeah, like when she was putting him under, she said something to him that was like really sexy, and it was like, it was really weird.
At least at the beginning, I think she's playing it more kind of sexy in the way she's doing it. I don't know. So there is that interplay between them.
It's like they had a relationship, but it ended because he was just a piece of shit, but she never stopped being attracted to
him. Right, the attraction. Right. She's like, I'm going to end this because you are a piece of shit, but that doesn't mean it wasn't the things I was attracted to, I'm still attracted to.
She tells Josh Brolin, I think the concept of Sebastian Cain is more appealing than he is, you know. Yeah. But I got the impression they didn't really have a serious relationship.
No.
Am I wrong?
No, I bet there was a lot of sex on science tables because they'd come to some science. They had a breakthrough and they're just like, oh my God, science. Fuck me. I guarantee it.
Oh my God, science.
That's what you yell when you climb. Like, oh my God, science.
How did you know?
And her and Josh.
I mean, that's what I do. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, well, you would. You know, I mean, it's a.
Oh, I love science. That's why they love science so much.
Do not let Sean in a museum.
Oh, my God. Did you see that ball that you touch with your hand and your hair stands on it?
He's banned from the Chicago Science and Nature Museum.
Oh, there's sexy netting in the other room. yeah, I'm slowly getting kicked out of every field museum. Yeah,
every single one of them. Yep. What? So her and Josh Brolin, they are like they're not going to tell him.
Right.
That they're dating?
No, he definitely would not handle that well. No. As the computer told us, this man is unstable. And he's your boss.
Yeah.
You have an unstable boss, bad for anybody, but you have an unstable boss that you also have a personal history with. Right. Yikes.
Literally every element of the situation is toxic.
Yeah. Unstable boss that is your ex and you're locked up in a bunker underground together.
Right. And he'll probably kill your coworker.
Might as well hang yourself with that red flag. Like, they're all red flags.
The fact that they even got along as well as they did seemed
Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah.
Yeah, for science.
But then
it kind of seems like they're like back and forth as kind of a foreplay thing for them too.
Yeah.
Even though she's dating the other guy, it's I was wondering, like, you know, well, I mean, I guess it's like you said, she's still attracted to him in a lot of ways.
Yeah, she's like molecules.
Yeah.
Protons.
But I like that they're
microscopes.
But I like that this like pays off that they are, because I guess, you know, it's like Josh Brolin's character is set up as like he's the foil. Right. For Kevin Bacon, because he's also like, well, I'm a science genius, too, and I'm going to figure this thing out. And, you know, it's like the two of them. But it really isn't. It's like him and Elizabeth Shue. She's the other like true scientist. And I think that's why I like that the science montage fight that they have going on in the end.
Your brain versus my brain.
Yeah. Yeah. So he the experiment doesn't work in bringing him back. And so then stuck for 10 days down there. He's like, I'm going out. They actually make him at some point.
Oh, the mask.
Yeah.
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 Which is like the classic Invisible Man get up. And I think it's
hilarious. I'm sorry. The more he adds to it, the funnier it gets.
I mean, truly, it is. I think it rides that line because it's also terrifying.
Like, yes, but also hilarious. It's both.
Oh, no.
It's
both. No, I'm saying it is definitely hilarious because at certain points he just looks like an old man with no teeth.
Yeah, but I think the way Kevin Bacon is playing it also makes it hilarious.
Yeah, like, for sure.
He has the very, can't tell me what to do, mom attitude when he's in this outfit. Like, the hood up, the sunglasses. Yeah, like, I'm going out. Like he's very much.
Hood and, like, pull strings real tight. He's like,
He's very petulant teenager energy when he's in this get up, and that's what makes it funny.
The mask looks like Deadpool.
Yeah, it does. Especially the back texture of it. Yeah,
it very much.
But the effect is like so great because I mean I get like from a budget standpoint, it's like, well, you're getting to actually put your star in the movie for a while and you can shoot him. Mm. But even then, you know, he had to have like green eye makeup and probably contacts or something so they could paint him out.
I'm sure he
But he is
hell.
There, but it looks amazing because it's like this mask draped over a Kevin Bacon that isn't there.
And it looks like Kevin Bacon, though. Yeah. That's what's so good. The mask does look like
And
him.
All the digital stuff. It looks like Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
I mean, they scanned his every pore of his body for this movie.
How long do you think they spent like 10 hours just on the peen?
Sir, we have to get it right.
Yeah. You remember there was that thing that came out about how much the peen in Watchmen cost because of how much it was on
the
screen.
Big blue one?
It was like several million dollars.
How much did it cost to get that out there?
Calculating.
Yeah, we have to calculate how tall is he when he's in Vietnam and how would that thing swing for being that tall? Somebody had to do that math and figure out that budget.
See, that's the special effects guy. Ah, shit. This is basically like so The Mummy was in 1999, wasn't it? That was the one that kind of gave us
this.
Yeah, okay.
Some of the moments in technology with this.
Okay.
We'll say not as bad as the Scorpion King Rock, because that looked horrible.
Oh,
if you know that meme.
So bad.
It's not good, but.
So bad.
When he goes out, you know, he goes over to his neighbor's house. Neighbor's played by Rhona Mitra. Was this like one of her first movies that we establish? Because while watching it, I was like, what, you know, how come I haven't seen her in a while? And I know that at one point she was like, it felt like on the cusp of, you know, being a genre star.
Right. Again, like I said, Underworld, Rise of the Lycans, The Life of David Gale, Doomsday. She did Boston Legal. Well, I mean, she did, I think, lower budget stuff because Skylines. You guys remember the movie Skylines?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait, she was in that, the thing with the blue alien?
Yeah, but this was Skylines. Oh, so Skyline. This is the 2020. Oh, the second one. I think it's the third or fourth one. Like, I think Skylines was the remake.
Oh, okay.
A couple of them. Yeah.
Jeez, there's a whole Skylines universe I don't even know about.
There is. I worked with the guy who edited the first one, but yeah, there's a whole thing. What was the car movie with Jim Caviezel?
The car movie?
Where she's stalked by, like, the guy in the muscle car in the middle of the desert. I'll find it, goddammit. Oh.
I don't know this movie.
Yeah, but she had... I think this is the first time that I remember, like, a big budget movie that she was in. But anyway, so she's the neighbor, and he goes over there and attacks her. We're not actually seeing...
And that's the only reason this character exists, by the way.
Yeah.
This character only exists to get raped, and is not in the movie after that.
Yeah, because I think that is the moment that... I don't know.
Oh my god!
The Farley Brothers movie where Greg Kinnear and Matt Damon played conjoined twins.
That movie was upsettingly funny.
Upsettingly funny. It's got Meryl Streep in it. Like, it's got everybody.
That's why.
Upsettingly funny.
It is.
It's crazy.
It shouldn't be as funny as it is.
Oh, Highwaymen.
Highwaymen.
Oh, Highwaymen. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
I like that movie.
Yeah. See the poster with her getting stalked by the car.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think is that Jim Caviezel. I'm pretty sure. Jim Caviezel. Yep.
There you go.
Oh wait.
But,
no.
That's the other one. That's with Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson and Kevin Costner.
Yeah, that's
I like
one.
That movie.
Yeah, you like
I don't know this one.
No, this was from 2004.
Yeah.
In the movie, like, is this like, you know, because it's such a focal scene, and I wonder if Paul Verhoeven like made more of it that was cut out
of
the movie.
Oh, yeah, there was a director's cut of this movie in which certain scenes are extended. This was one of them that was extended.
Of course.
Because
the rape
scene? Yeah.
Is it because they had...
It's not too much longer, but it is longer.
There was a movie called The Entity back in the 80s.
The ghost that would rape?
Yeah, where they figured out practical effects to do things, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I was wondering. It was like, okay, is Paul Verhoeven going there? Did they? I assume they cut it out of the theatrical cut because it's like people just maybe don't want to see that.
You understand enough of based on what we got.
Yeah. Like,
you don't need to do anymore.
Yeah.
No.
Is it the moment that you are supposed to, like, somehow go like, well, there's, you know, he's the bad guy.
That's it.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like the whole movie basically says he's the bad guy right from the get-go.
Exactly.
He's never not the bad guy.
Right. There should be a little more where he's not the bad guy.
Yeah.
Is it just,
or any point where he's not the bad
is
guy.
Is it just at this point, then he's irredeemable?
Yeah.
You know, it's like
be no redemption arc for this character after this point.
But why? Yeah, I feel like there could have been a moment where he was like, what have I done? I have to turn things around. But like that doesn't happen.
Right.
There's never a moment that it's like, okay, this guy might be okay. He's never okay. He's never good.
But it just needs to be recalibrated a little bit. It's a little off because why not just have him be a nice, normal dude until he finds out that Josh Brolin and Elizabeth Shue are dating? And then that is what sets him off.
And
you combine that with the 10 days of
the fact that he's getting that like stir crazy by day 10 and he's kind of starting to lose it.
It's not stir crazy. They have been experimenting on him this entire time.
Experimenting on him and like he's just kind of going crazy.
Yes.
And then that's the final straw.
And then that's the final straw. That would make sense.
The movie does seem to give a lot to the idea of sex with an invisible man.
Yeah, because it's brought up later
in the dialogue. They bring it up, and then Elizabeth Shue has a nightmare
mm-hmm.
Where we basically get to see some of the practical effect work that I assume they were intending to do. So it's like that does seem to be a focus of the filmmakers. Mm-hmm. Is like, okay, this is going to be the Sex with the Invisible Man movie. And after that point, then they realize
this is where you were asking, like, does it feel like a Verhoeven movie? Yes.
Right here.
This is the theme of the movie. Okay. And then after that point, then the movie shifts into the we have to kill the monster, stop the monster, right? movie. Because they know that he went out, they know that he did something.
Yep.
Their imaginations don't take them as far as going like he probably did something criminal. No. I mean, they just say like, well, I don't want to think about it.
Right. Yeah. But they're just like every moment he's out there, he's not safe. This could also lead to, even if he isn't doing anything wrong, this could lead to the shutdown of this whole program.
Yeah,
everything's gone. Yeah.
But how?
how is it going to get discovered? I'm sorry, not to Deadpool's advocate for Kevin Bacon here, right. But how is it going to get discovered?
You're right. Unless somebody says something.
You literally can't fucking see him.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It seems pretty low risk to me. Yeah.
So, like, your chief scientist just disappears and walks off the project or something like that and never came back because he got hit by a car or something like that.
Yeah, imagine that happened. And you're just like, oh.
Okay,
yeah.
But if he got hit by a car, would his blood come out visible or invisible? Because this movie switches logic on that a few times.
Invisible.
Well, that's because I was wondering even during the rape thing, because he talks himself into it. Like, who's going to know? But I'm like, would they be able to have genetic
DNA? Yeah.
Or is that invisible?
I think it's invisible.
Because he pukes earlier and that's
it's invisible. But he pisses and we see it.
When did this happen?
In the urinal. When she's in going pee, she looks at the urinal and you see a pee stream. Do you not?
No, the urinal was running.
Oh, okay.
It was running.
I was going to say, I missed this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he eats a Twinkie later on, but unlike Memoirs of an Invisible Man, you don't get to actually see it go down into his inner stomach.
Yeah, I could have used a little more of that.
Like maybe because they'd already done it in another movie.
You could still do one. Like, when you have the technology and the budget to do it, like, you do it once and then you move on from it, just because it's cool to see something get digested and then go through the body.
Mm-hmm. Well, he starts fucking with his coworkers, recording a loop of him sleeping so he can wander around and do stuff.
Which I'm sorry, you guys keep saying he's a genius. Then shouldn't you have seen this coming? That he was going to try and figure out a way to outsmart
you. A little more of an eye on.
Yeah, yeah.
If nothing else.
Yeah, like one of them security foot ankle monitors or something. So you're always
It's like motion detectors. Okay, he stopped walking.
Yeah.
What do we do now? So, yeah, something on him. Like they should have put a chip in him or what have you.
Yeah, because he flies up. Was finding out that that Elizabeth Shue and Josh Brolin are sleeping together the thing that made him homicidal? Because does he start going homicidal after?
No, he kills that dog first for no reason, right?
It's the same time.
Same time, okay.
Like he finds out and he's pacing back and forth under the thing and then he immediately kills the dog.
Which so implies then that he cared more for her than we were led to believe, right? So it wasn't a casual thing.
Mm-hmm.
It made me competition.
I was like, it's not that he cares for her.
No, it's that somebody else got
fucking,
her.
Yeah, it's that she's fucking someone else.
And then he doesn't have her. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then it's someone in close proximity.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's an ego thing
because he's what does she see in this guy? I'm like, it's Josh Brolin.
Yeah, it's late 90s Josh Brolin. I'm sorry, dude.
What do you mean? What does she see?
Look at that clean cut American boy.
Right.
So true.
And he's really smart, too.
He's really smart and he's nice and doesn't rape people. What a good guy.
Would this be a good time to mention that we're inducting Josh Brolin onto the Saturday Night Freak Show Wall of Fame. So thanks to MF Mad, the keeper of the Saturday Night Freak Show Wall of Fame. Can you name the three
Goonies?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. No Country for Old Men, was that ever done?
No, we never did that. That's
Jonah Hex.
Jonah Hex.
You better remember.
I was like Jonah Hex, yeah.
MF Mad also wants to apologize that Elizabeth Shue has been on the wall
because she
was in Back to the Future 1 and 2.
Yes.
Which we did. And then she was in Deconstructing Harry. And now she's in The Hollow Man.
Okay. Is she in 1? Okay. What? She's not in 1.
She's in
2. Oh, that's right. She's not. She's in 2 and 3.
Yeah, 2 and 3.
We did 2 and 3.
Yeah. Well, did we do 3?
We did 2 and 3, yes.
You did 2 and 3.
But she's not in 1.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Okay. Different we can go back and
there's
listen
There's a whole thing
there.
About that. Yeah.
That's right. It's Jennifer or something. No, her character's Jennifer. Whatever. So.
Different not movie. Now.
Yeah. No, no.
Brent would kill you right now.
No. So now they have to stop him, right? Because he keeps going out. And
they have decided, because he does keep going out, they have decided they're going to tell the higher-ups what happened. Finally reveal that we went a step further. We turned him invisible. Now he's escaped. We think he's doing wrong things, and we don't care about the program at this point. We're going to tell them, and they're going to shut it down, and we got to find him.
Yep. So they go over to the boss, the great William Devane, star of Knots Landing. No, he's been in a bunch of other stuff. You saw him as the president in The Dark Knight Rises.
He was in Contact, wasn't he?
And Payback, the Mel Gibson movie. So they tell him, but they don't know. The Invisible Man is there at the house and kills him in his pool in a spectacular special effects sequence.
This is cool.
It's a cool scene. Very cool, but it's flawed because they imply that he can now breathe underwater.
Yep.
He got a good breath before he went in.
Yeah, oh, did he?
Strangles him.
Yeah, he did. The other guy was struggling and was surprised.
It's the way they shoot it. He just seems like a water demon or something like that.
Yeah, he does. But the effect looks really good. I think it looks really cool.
They even include Waterpeen.
Yeah,
there's Waterpeen.
Yep.
I missed Waterpeen, but yes, definitely.
I mean, I was looking for it every time. Yeah. I was like, I have to see if they include it every time.
Sure.
Because that special effects artist who had to go in and design the whole thing. Put a lot of work.
Yeah, the peen department.
On the water peen.
Like, yeah.
But also, it's like,
the left nut.
I feel like I'd be more interested in watching like a making of this movie than the actual movie. Because, like, is Kevin Bacon just wearing a full ass green suit thrashing around underwater for this? Like, how are they filming
Actually,
this?
They had to paint for this one because they had to use a lot of different colors depending on the environment he was in. He was head to toe black.
Oh, that's spooky. Oh, my gosh.
So he can stand out again in the water. And
That's terrifying.
That's scary.
Right? Yeah. That sounds horrifying.
Was it him or stunt guy?
I think
they used
him for a lot. I mean, I'm sure a stunt guy was in there for certain scenes, but they used him for everything they could use him for.
Yeah. Just because they wanted to get this movie, man.
Yeah, I know.
Like Kevin Bacon took the job because he's like, there's certain scenes I won't have to be on set. I'll just be a voice.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's like, little did I know that I would be head to toe full. Like, he had the costume where you have the little white balls on you. He had full green. He had contact lenses he had to wear. Like, he went through the whole thing for this.
I think he knows the exact level this movie's at. I think he knows this movie's kind of a joke, and that's why his performance is what it is. Other people in this movie, I don't think, know that.
So you say the movie's a joke in what way?
I mean, it has moments of straight up comedy. Like, even the like over to the top way he's thrashing on the table when he starts transforming it looks like he's possessed.
Yeah, and like honestly, at first I thought he was messing with them.
Yeah, that's what I thought too, because it was so over the top.
Yeah, I don't understand why they chose this take, because he does. I think I feel in my arm, but he's doing that look to her is she buying it?
Yeah,
he's like, got that look out of the side of his eye.
And then all of a sudden he does actually start transforming. That's a choice.
It's a weird take that they
used
for that.
It's a really weird take. Mm-hmm. And just the dialogue in this movie is ridiculous.
Yeah, but more so, as we get into the, I mean, I guess I'm going to call it like a standard action movie climax. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the end is like full on.
Is it standard?
It's like Speed.
Right, because of this era, right? Hollywood spent
like
a shitload of money on
this. Yeah, it is like
standard. He creates bombs. They're like going through an elevator shaft.
Yeah. And you're like, that's what Hollywood does.
It's all amped up.
And then the dialogue becomes...
Like, what year was Deep Blue Sea? 1999?
Yeah.
This feels like that. Remember that elevator shaft? It was filling with water. And
yeah, it's just the thing that you do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
It's one of those things. That whole, climbing a ladder action scene.
Yeah.
It was standard for... action movies around this time.
Yeah. Well, he goes after he kills the
the quicksand of late 90s.
Yeah.
He kills the head doctor, and then he just is like, well, in order to keep my secret, because I just want to be invisible now and I'm not going to give this up, he's like going to kill all of his friends, his colleagues who he's worked with for 11 years. And so he goes back to the research facility, and then I think they become aware that, like, well, because he starts cutting the
phone lines.
They can't use the elevator, so they can't get out. They're entombed down there.
Right, all their access codes have been taken out except for his.
And it's going to be forever before people find us, and we're down here with the Invisible Man. I mean, that's a creepy idea, right? I mean, he's going to stalk you
below ground in a creepy ass laboratory with the Invisible Man.
Yeah. And you kind of get the idea as they, you know, they're like, what? No, he wouldn't do that. And like, oh, my God. And then, I mean, that kind of stuff, I kind of like the idea that, like, these people are like, oh, shit, he's going to, like, try and kill us.
Well, because he admits to them that he killed the general dude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you'd be surprised what you can live with when you can't see yourself.
I like that.
You can't see yourself in the mirror.
Josh Brolin's like, do you realize what you're saying? It's like, I think Josh Brolin is realizing what he's saying. So then there becomes a stalk and slash sequence throughout the facility.
Yep, they're picking off the group one by one.
And each one of them uses, clever ways to try and see the Invisible Man.
Mm-hmm. Because, God forbid, we just use the thermal goggles.
Yeah.
Which are in abundance down here.
Well, don't forget, he turns the heat up.
Yeah.
And
the other thing they do to double down on that is they're like, oh man, when the thermal footprint is too small, we have to use this computer scanner because the goggles can't see it. And I was like, oh my God, you are making this shit up.
Then they have like, who knew that the place was outfitted like aliens or something? So they have
I love the I love red triangle represents you, and we're moving around a map. Yeah. I love this technology. I'm glad we're still having it. We didn't get past it. We're in 2000. We're like, we're not quite there.
The rest of the technology in this movie is like really advanced.
Yeah, we're turning a dude invisible.
But just the red triangle.
Red triangles on a map. This, like, I saw this in Critters 4.
Yeah.
Like, you guys have not advanced beyond that.
Yeah. Was Saving Private Ryan was before this, right? The Kim Dickey kill scene where she's like, please, please don't. And, you know, he turns the gun around on her and kills her, kills Greg Grunberg, strangles him.
Greg Grunberg, he gets picked up and strangled, but then he gets dropped on like a exposed pipe and just banged in the neck and head, where he's just bleeding. This is where we start getting real bloody.
Yeah,
the sound effect when his head hit that pipe
it was good.
He's going for a brutality that I think you expect from his movies. Yeah, like the guy from RoboCop made this movie.
RoboCop, Starship Troopers. Yeah, like this guy, Total Recall. This guy made this movie. Yeah,
yeah.
Josh Brolin.
At the end,
gets
you see it.
After another character, the guy from Twister, gets run through with a metal shaft, Josh Brolin gets crowbarred in the stomach, and Elizabeth Shue has to reach in there to determine that none of his vital organs have been...
This is the worst. She opens the shirt, sees the thing, and she's like, oh, and then she's like... Yeah. And she digs her fingers into his abdomen, and she's like... He didn't hit any organs. I touched every single one of them.
Yeah,
I
think they're fine. But now he has tetanus. Thank you.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Just like, don't lose a nail or a ring in there or something. Jesus.
Well, they've been locked in the deep freezer, right? And so this is where we get, so the scene that we've talked about the entire way through this movie, the science battle, or, you know, the montage.
Mm-hmm. It is science battle montage after everyone's dead at this point. Because he still stalks... Kim Dickens. I think I said Dickie before. It's Dickens, isn't it?
Oh, it could be.
I think it's Dickens. Kim Dickens. But she went to go get blood for Greg Grunberg.
But she's throwing blood all over the floor.
So there's a scene where she thinks like Sebastian's in the room with her, so she's opened up packets of blood and thrown them on the floor.
Yeah, but those are cool. It's all like, you know, they're trying to figure out how can you make the Invisible Man visible. They have the mask. Mm-hmm. They have water. They have rain. Yeah. They have smoke. They have blood. You know,
which is, I mean, it's cool because he gets
extinguisher.
Fire extinguisher. Yeah. He gets covered with blood, and it just
it looks cool.
It's a real haunting image because what it sticks to on his face and everything.
Yeah,
it's good.
I know. It's like they thought of like all the ways that you could try, and
they really did make a list of like, all right, we have the budget to make an Invisible Man movie, and we can pretty much do any situation you want. Mm-hmm. What do you want to do? And they really figured out a bunch of them that are pretty cool to see. Some of them not so, and I'm going to say, quote unquote, realistic. I know this is an Invisible Man movie, but the dude gets roasted later on, and all his burnt flesh just falls off.
I like that his burnt flesh becomes visible.
I was going to say, why does that happen?
Yeah, I don't know.
That doesn't make sense.
None of this is in the movie, I don't think, but certain things keep happening to him that are affecting his physiology. He gets electrocuted later, and you can see a lot more of his inner body and everything.
That actually makes more sense to me than the burnt flesh. Because you're seeing the current go through
him. Maybe the flesh has died, and it's no longer affected by the serum, and so you can see it, and then it falls off, and then you can't see it anymore.
Sure. That's a lot of work, Okay, but when he's strangling Greg Grunberg and Josh Brolin comes in to shoot him and realizes he's shooting too low because this motherfucker is sitting on Greg Grunberg's shoulders and I was like, is he sitting on his shoulders?
That's way funnier.
That would be way funnier.
But I like that, though, because they lost him on the computer. They're like, oh, where'd he go? Because he went up.
Yeah.
Fucking Gollum at the end of Lord of the Rings.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Throw this motherfucker into Mount Doom. My God, he's fucking evil. Funny. Yeah.
Well, she figures out how to science her way out of the meat locker. He figures out how to...
everything.
It seems like it takes her days to figure out how to get out of this meat locker.
She creates an electromagnet to open the door. I thought that was cool.
Seems like it takes time to do.
Right. They don't cut to make it faster. They're like, we're real-timing this shit right now.
Yeah. She's going to science the shit out of this. Yeah. And... Yep. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, we like watch her wrap a cord around the thing. Like, okay.
Tests it with a bunch of quarters and screws and
they
stuff.
They want to make sure you get the idea.
Know what she's done.
Yep.
I don't know if you guys felt the same way. I think maybe Sean did because he said something during the movie. But at some point, Josh, you know, he's the Invisible Man is attacking Elizabeth Shue, and Josh Brolin shows up and clocks him.
He hits him directly on the head with a fucking crowbar.
Yep, and he's like, I got to save you for
that
once.
That should be it.
And the hero couple... are going to go escape. Yep. I know that there's still like the bomb's going to go off, yeah. and right. you know, so they're still, the whole they have to go.
But then we get that cool scene where he's grabbing the crowbar as he moves through the rain and everything.
But it seemed like an extension because I think, you know, I think it might have been Michaela said during the movie, like, how many fake out, you know, deaths are we going to get?
Yeah.
Because we have a lot of like, he's dead, he's back. She roasts, I think it started with she roasted him with a flamethrower.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is after he has created a face for himself.
Oh, yeah. He draws on eyebrows, he puts on blush. Lip liner.
Yeah. He did a Kevin Bacon wig under a baseball hat.
He's going out in the world for good this time, blowing up everything behind him.
Yep, but she roasts him in the elevator.
The scene was like 2 seconds away from having like the Bee Gees play underneath and he gets ready.
Right.
Like, it was so close to that.
Yeah, he's putting on basically it's the Marvel I need to hide look.
Yeah.
It's just like sunglasses and a cap.
Yep.
Yeah, and a wig.
So anyway,
Kevin Bacon hair.
But he gets roasted in the scene, and this is really good. Like the stunt work here, because she's made a flamethrower and everything. But him, like the clothes burning off of him,
yeah,
and trying to escape, peeling off the plastic and his clothes
skin,
as he's going,
like,
and
burning,
his skin's doing it. Like, it's a really good scene.
It's a good scene.
You feel kind of the pain in this scene. Like, it's good effect work, good stunt work.
Yeah. But he's presumed dead then. He's presumed dead after Brolin clocks him.
Yeah.
And then we have the big action stunt sequence, which just seemed overdone.
It was.
But it was like, holy cow, you know, there's a lot of, you know, going up the ladder, the thing falling, bombs going off, in the, you know, below.
Paul, we just spoke with the budget department.
Yeah.
We have $10 million left. What do you want to do? Yeah. You want to give it back to the studio? Or what?
Oh, elevator shaft.
Yes, yeah. I have ideas.
It just feels out of place with this movie.
It does.
The elevator shaft drama feels like a different type of movie.
It does.
It feels like
an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
It does.
Yeah.
Especially because the elevator gets blown back up.
Yeah.
Like, I imagine, I can see an elevator getting destroyed and, you know, cables breaking and it falling and everything. But then an explosion happens and it goes back up, which
is pretty
funny.
And then it comes down again.
Yeah.
And then gets, yeah. And finally, we are able to beat the invisible. I'm not even sure how he survived, how did he get up there.
He
don't know.
Right. Any of this up to this point, he shouldn't have. He should be dead.
Yeah. I wonder if that was an afterthought, that they were like, you know, we can, like you said, we got a little bit more money and we can give you like another.
We have to do this.
Audiences said the ending was too, you know, just like after everything. I don't know. It felt like it came to a conclusion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it kept going.
It really did.
But then, a big, I mean, spectacular ending.
Yeah, he tries to again kill Elizabeth Shue, but she snaps or grabs the cord that's holding the elevator. I have a hard time imagining this elevator is being held up by this one cord, but whatever. Mm-hmm. This is an Invisible Man movie.
Yeah.
But she snaps that, grabs onto that, gets taken up as he falls into the pit of fire.
But even then, we wrap up the sexual predator thing, because he is still trying to he kisses her.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Yes.
We wrap up the God complex, because she says something to the effect of
not God anymore,
and then kicks the brake or the release,
cable. Yeah.
And he falls to his death in the burning fires of hell.
He could still be alive for all we know.
He goes from heaven to hell.
Because there was a sequel and he's not in it.
What? There's a sequel.
Hollow Man 2, starring Christian Slater and Peter Facinelli.
Oh, wow.
What?
Yeah.
Why aren't
we watching
that one? It's
a sequel or another Hollow Man movie. I'm like,
there ends up being two Hollow Men in that movie at a certain point. Because, you know, like, one guy is just like, the only way to beat him is to become him. He's like, I will be Hollow Man as well.
There's a Hollow Man fight. Why are we not watching this?
Yeah.
Christian Slater and Peter Facinelli. Why are we not watching this?
I did not check to see how much rape was in it, so I didn't, like, maybe it has more.
What does two invisible guys fighting look like, though? That's what I want to know.
I mean, like this, but, you know, one more.
And that was direct-to-video, so I can't imagine that the same visual effects team were recruited.
I'm curious. I can't imagine.
I imagine you're right, but... Who knows, but there's
a
Hollow Man 2.
Wait, next year we'll watch Hollow Man 2?
All right.
Okay. I'll give us some time.
All right. Well, that's the movie.
Whoa, that came out in 2006?
Oh.
Yeah.
That's like more recent than I would have expected.
I'm guessing that this was a big hit on video. Was it a big hit theatrically? I think it was.
It made, I think, like $200 million.
That's a lot.
Total? Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a $95 million
budget.
Yeah,
that's a holy fuck. Wow.
If nothing else, it looked interesting. I think it drew people to it.
I would have thought
a
sequel would have come along
earlier. Good on video as well. I remember it being a big renter at the time.
Well,
it always came in that two pack with flatliners. It's always Hollow Man and Flatliners, the DVD
Columbia
two pack.
Pictures,
Hollow Liners, okay. Flatman.
Well, we're gonna review the movie. We're gonna let you know what we thought of it and whether or not you should watch it. By the way, if it is universally acclaimed, then you have to contractually by listening to the show, watch it. Or I suppose the you're released of that obligation if there's disagreement. But first, before we get to that exciting climax to the show, we're going to read some of your mail. And in order to do that, we're going to have to summon our mailman. His name is Igor. Bring us the mail.
Masters, the mail. I've got the mail. So many letters. Our followers are rising.
Why, thank you, Igor.
Where is he?
Igor? Oh, no.
I don't see him. Somebody get the fire extinguisher.
Somebody
burn him
right now. Oh, my God.
Fire does not stop him.
No.
Makes him stronger.
Yeah. Well, we should let the good folks at home know how they can participate on this interactive portion of our show by following along on Facebook.
Facebook.com/SaturdayNightFreakShow.
Or X.
At Sat Freak Show.
Or you can email us directly.
SaturdayNightFreakShow@yahoo.com.
Or you can follow along on Instagram and Threads at Saturday Night Freak Show about tonight's movie, The Hollow Man. Jimbo Ice writes in and says, no, please, no. Why are you guys visiting the most awkward and uncomfortable material from this era? What's next? Sucker Punch?
Oh, God.
It's a great question.
No.
It's a great question. Jimbo.
Don't look at me.
I'm looking at you. You picked it.
I would never bring Sucker Punch.
Is he saying Splice is the other uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Rick Danford says, I really enjoyed Hollow Man, and I thought this is what an Invisible Man monster movie should be.
There's elements of it that I agree with.
Travis Legler says, Verhoeven could always make my stomach turn. I saw both RoboCop and Starship Troopers at least 5 years before I should have. Then he and Kevin Bacon made this dark and interesting movie together. Seeing Bacon become a sexual predator, then a rapist, kind of fucked me up. Very interested in what you all think.
Yeah. Definitely not a movie for the kids, that's for sure.
I was just thinking about how young I was when I watched Showgirls.
Yeah.
I really should not have watched that.
I feel like
a Verhoeven rite of passage?
I feel like no matter what age you are too young to watch Showgirls.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah. It feels like it.
Nobody's old enough. Nobody's ready.
Last week we watched a movie called Constantine, and about that movie, Steve Carney writes in and says, Constantine is one of the most forgettable, bland, uninteresting films I've ever seen. I'm surprised I didn't turn it off. Damn. Something about Keanu smoking all those cigarettes makes me sad. I think my urge to protect him at all costs just kicked in.
There's the love for Keanu for some reason.
Dom Cree says he loves the lung tar cleansing punishment in the movie.
Yeah,
we do too.
It's pretty great.
Michael Whitaker, the Constantine expert, writes in this is probably notes that we should have included on last week's show. He says it should be noted that John Constantine is first and foremost a street level sorcerer, which is why they never explain what he's really doing with the cat or Angela. These were technically magic spells that he was performing, not sending her to hell. The comics are not strictly Christian centered either, and follow mythology and magic from all forms of beliefs and faith. Also, Chaz from the comics is Chaz Chandler. He's John Constantine's oldest and most alive friend, as friends dying help Constantine, is also from the comics and also serves as his driver and sidekick. And finally, the Lucifer TV series is in fact also based on a Neil Gaiman character.
Oh yeah.
Oh wow.
That's true. Right. I forgot about that.
And he, Constantine, crosses over into those. I think Constantine has been in the Sandman.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for that.
Lucifer is so relevant. We had no idea.
Well, there you go.
Appreciate it. Damn.
Pat Hetfield says, I had no idea Constantine TV show even existed. I'm not that much of a fan, but I suppose I'll look into it eventually to see what it's like. Also, I heard that Constantine 2 is indeed on the way. Okay, so that, Pat, is not like an official. That's, I think, a fan hopeful. And I think Keanu Reeves has said, I'll do it.
That's all they need is like Keanu Reeves saying, like, I'm interested for them to be like, it's in production. It's in the development.
Yeah, there's like, fake trailers and all sorts of stuff out there. I looked it up. And,
you got to be careful. Don't look at anything on Facebook. They're lying.
The week before, we watched a movie called Final Destination 2. Yojimbo Ice says, at the time, this sure seemed like the best of the series. I didn't like 3, and I disliked 4. And although 5 was fresh to an extent with a great ending, it didn't exactly leave me wanting more. I can see how, in retrospect, this one is half-baked in a lot of ways, but it did balance the scares with the fun in a lot of ways that future installments struggled to meet.
Yeah, it definitely has the weakest story of any of the movies, probably.
Wait, which one?
The second one. It's so dependent on the first one. Yeah,
very true.
Yeah.
But again, the trauma's still alive today. I sent a video
to
my friends here just this week about someone following a truck.
Yep.
That had logs on it. Yep. It was just like, I've seen the movie. I'm just waiting.
You don't even have to say what the movie is anymore. Yeah, you just say, I've seen the movie.
But I love this guy's vibe because he was just like, take me home. Yeah. Yeah. I'm ready.
He's like, I'm ready for it. Whatever's about to happen, I am here for it. I've seen the movie. I'm ready to go.
Oh, amazing. 20 years that has ripped our psyche.
As everybody knows, Final Destination 2. Well, we were talking about, like, we had asked on social media. This is why you got to get over on our social media.
Please
because
do.
We ask interactive questions here, and we put it to you. What was the best inciting incident of the Final Destination series? And, you know, the logging scene on the highway, according to Mike Miller, it says it's hard to beat the highway mayhem. But the roller coaster is a close second.
It's a good one. The roller coaster one was fun.
It's a good one.
And Aaron Dawn Gilmer says that the highway, the same scene from the highway, you know, like the, I think it's the log going through the car, also shows up in Butcher Baker, Nightmare Maker, which we have also covered.
Oh, I tried to talk about that.
I forgot about that.
I tried to forget that movie because it was so much milk and sweat.
It was a lot.
Remember,
of
he was drinking so full milk. Glasses of milk all the forget. Time.
So much milk.
I remember liking that one. But yeah, the parents right at the very beginning of that movie.
Yeah, they
like,
do.
Holy
they get,
fuck.
Yeah, the final. They get Final get Destination.
I think it was more graphic than Final Destination.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for the reminder. Just go thank you for the reminder on that. Yeah, we forget
Tyrell's
our movies.
Just made everyone drink milk.
I forget everything we watch.
I know.
We will remind you.
Yep. And now, and it's recorded, so you can go back and listen to those episodes and more in our back catalog. Now we're going to go
around.
Or you
can purchase Butcher Baker Nightmare Maker on 4K, because who knew they do that?
I know.
Along with Kathy's Curse.
4K version of it.
Like, what a world we live in. Thank you.
I feel like we contributed to that.
Yeah, I think so too.
Oh, yeah, we're keeping it alive. I'm proud of it.
Well, now we're going to go around the table and we're going to review tonight's movie, starting with
Colin.
Oh, shit.
Colin goes first. What did you think about Hollow Man?
I was surprised, actually. So I have seen the movie twice before. I saw it in the theater and I saw it on home video at some point. And both times I came away with a I don't know. I didn't like it when I saw it in the theater.
Okay.
And so how many years ago is that now? It's 24 years. And I was trying to sit there because I was actually enjoying the movie. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sitting there going like, oh, I get it. Like, you know, it's a movie about this guy and like becoming, or I guess he is a sexual predator. That's kind of like absolving himself of like morality, you know, because he's invisible, his morality goes
because he's
invisible
because of what he thinks he's going to offer to the world doing this experiment.
I mean, there's, you know, because even like the first act does seem to be this escalation of sexual attacks that's intercut with like, and then we got science to explain like how we're gonna actually do this, and then it's like, okay, now, you know, after the rape, it's like now we have to kill the monster for the second half of the movie, you know. And I was kind of digging it. I was like, oh, okay. I guess this time I got the vibe. I got the movie that I think Verhoeven was trying to make, where I think I missed that the last, I guess, but the last couple times that I saw it, I guess there was, you know, now I'm trying to analyze like why I didn't like it. And I guess there was a distaste for the movie before. Mm-hmm. That now I'm kind of like, oh, well, okay, all of this is intentional, and I get
it. Right. Now you know what it is. Now you're not expecting anything. Maybe you're not expecting anything good from the character as far as goodness and everything.
Yeah, and so, maybe that was it. I'm wondering
if you're looking at me like, all right, so you're just bad from the beginning, and we'll go from there.
I wonder, like, that couldn't have been, like, I couldn't be completely blind to that. But, I mean, I guess you think, like, and I think it was those lines.
But we're trained to expect a redemption arc. You know what I'm saying? Your brain is trained to expect, okay, this guy's bad now, but his arc is going to be redeeming himself. So when he doesn't, I could see why you'd be like, I don't like this because I'm not used to seeing this.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, if nothing else, we're humans. Yeah. You would hope we have hope. Right. So you hope the character is just but is he just bad?
No, you know, because when they were saying it, the two lines that you pointed out that, you know, like, well, you know, the monkey went crazy because of the serum and, you know, he goes crazy. He might, you know, be going crazy. And I remember the original Invisible Man. It was like a guy who went crazy because of the serum.
Right.
And so then I think I latched onto that more and didn't really feel it. And now it's like, well, that was an afterthought, you know. That was never really intended anyway. He was just a bad guy who got worse.
Yes.
You know, and he's a monster the whole way through, and he is the Invisible Man. I thought the visual effects were jaw-dropping, like I said before. Outstanding. Alec Gillis and Tom Woodruff, who we've talked about before, because they've done a lot of practical work. They did the practical stuff, and I don't remember who did was in charge of the actual visual effects, who lost out to Gladiator. Now it seems like an oversight.
Yeah.
This is kind of impressive from that point of view. I think in the second half, when it becomes more like a rote kind of slasher movie, they're still making it visually cool. I like the science face off, you know, and a montage. I thought that was like, all right, this is, you know, kind of interesting. And then the overblown elevator stuff I could have lived without. But otherwise, I'm going to say that I would recommend The Hollow Man. I was kind of impressed this time around. Holly, what did you think?
Yeah, I don't entirely disagree with what you're saying. I'm kind of with you where this watch, it's not as bad as I remembered. I think I built it up in my head, and I think you're onto something with, like, now that we know what it's supposed to be,
yes,
it's easier to watch it and it's easier to understand it. That doesn't mean it's good. It does not mean it's good. And there's still way too much rape for my taste, and there's still too much dog cruelty and animal cruelty for my taste. Both of those things put me off very much. The writing is absolutely horrendous. There's so many lines in this movie that I was just like, they're just written so badly that it does not matter how the actors said them or portrayed them. It was just going to be bad. And I think the direction is specific and it's what he wants, but it's not good. And yeah, there's a lot with this that I don't like. I did enjoy parts of it more than I thought I was going to. I think the effects are seriously impressive. Obviously we've come so far that if our movie were to come out with these effects right now, I'd be like, oh, that looks terrible. But looking at 2000, it looks really good.
It's kind of crazy for 2000.
Right. Like, it's really good. I'm still not going to recommend it. It's just, it's a bad movie, and it's... I don't think his movies are for me necessarily.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I enjoy some aspects, but it's just not my taste. I like some sleaze. I don't like his sleaze. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So, there's different flavors of sleaze. Yeah. Taste that. Different flavors of sleaze. What is your flavor of sleaze that you like,
taste
Holly?
Taste that. Leaving it
like I like a John Waters sleaze. Okay. I would say I would prefer a John Waters sleaze to this.
Interesting. It depends. Oh, interesting. Depends. Because I'd be like, well, that's a little too much.
Well, yeah, it depends too.
But, crybaby sleaze.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay, like yeah, that. Yeah.
I'm gonna pass on Hollow Man, although not as bad as I remembered. Michaela, what did you think?
I consider that a victory. you should not watch it, but not as bad. I'm like, yes.
You know, I've always hated this movie, but I did feel myself soften a little bit on it today. Because, and I think it's just because I know the parts I'm not going to like. Because that's all I remember from this movie is all the sexual assault stuff. Because it's so prominent and it's such a big part of this movie. And there really is no point to it other than exploitation. And I mean, we get this guy's bad. You don't need to beat us over the head with it by showing him assault every single person he knows. And
he starts assaulting the camera guy who's in the movie. Seriously. Just, it's like, what's going on?
Is that the point of the movie? As a movie monster, right? Mm-hmm. They've come up with like a pretty, like,
yeah,
he's a monster.
Yeah. But it just doesn't feel like there's any like redemption for that specific part of his, you know, reign of terror. You know, that lady still got raped by an invisible person, knows, has no idea what the fuck happened. And that's just her story.
Yeah,
we don't
know the aftermath of her. Is she dead?
Yeah, exactly. Like there's still like nothing gets undone in this movie. So, but yeah, I did feel myself soften a little bit, and I was able to just kind of truly appreciate the transformation scenes and on this watch, which I had never really paid to before, because when, especially the first time you see it, it's a lot of sexual assault to take in it's a short amount of time. Yeah. So it's hard to process that and pay attention to what's happening at the same time.
And quickly, like the fact that the character goes to it so quickly.
Right, exactly. Well, the first scene we see him in his apartment, he's pissed off that he can't creep on his neighbor anymore. Yeah, it's like from the jump.
He's always been a predator.
Yeah. And I like, man, the effects are really good and hold up really, really well. And I do think Kevin Bacon is perfect for this role. Like, absolutely perfect. Yeah. Like, nailed it. 100%.
He's really good at playing sleazy.
Yeah. And
we're looking at you, Maxine. We're ready.
Can't wait. Yeah.
What was that
one
where he played the child molester? Did you see the woodsman?
Yeah.
Or was it
it's either the woodsman or the woodsman.
Yeah. It's fucking, yeah. I mean, he's good.
Right.
But
I guess we could just say he's a good actor.
Yeah. He's a good actor.
Yeah. But I think that.
Wasn't Sleepers?
I was like, wasn't he in Sleepers? Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Fuck that movie.
Yeah. So he, I think he does great in this. And I love like the amount of care and detail put into the effects. But I wish that care and detail carried over into any part of the story, because this movie just doesn't have anything, any perspective to offer that hasn't already been explored by an Invisible Man property. Like, it's not, I don't know. I guess the only thing they're trying to do better is the technology part of it, right? Mm-hmm. That they care more about that than the story. But it's just there's no arc for your main character. He's just a piece of shit. He starts off a piece of shit and he ends a piece of shit, and it's like that's not the most interesting.
Other characters don't really change or go through much by the time they get to the end either.
They don't have any realizations. Yeah. No, it's
a lot of them die.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they do change.
And I do just find
Mrs. Leeds changed. Do you understand?
I just find the overall tone of this movie to just be like really, I don't like this type of sleaze. I agree. This is not, it's a reprehensible movie, and it just doesn't, nothing about it makes you feel good. It's just, it's a mean-spirited movie, and I don't care for its tone.
I need some balance to my sleaze.
Yeah. It needs some tone adjustments, because this is just not enjoyable for me. So I'm going to pass on it. Sean.
I need someone to be having a good time.
Right.
I think that's the big thing. I think that's what, I mean, a good points all around from everybody here tonight. Mm-hmm. I think that might be the big thing. It's just like, we're pretty much like just a bad guy from start to finish. It's a sleaze from start to finish. There's no, there needs to be more levity, more moments of something we like about these characters. I don't think we get many of those moments with any of them. I think we understand a few of them, but we don't.
I'm rooting for all the animals to escape and kill these people.
The gorilla is the one I'm just like, I like the gorilla. Yeah. Everyone else, fuck off. Yeah. I think because everyone is kind of just not. You don't like anybody in this movie. So that is a detractor for this movie. I think there's a lot around it that is still really good. Like we all said, the effects. Wow. Still good. 24 years later. Great for 2000. I think I'm going to recommend the movie too. I think you got to go into it knowing that you just have a monster at the beginning of this movie, and you will watch a monster for the entirety of the movie. And characters, script-wise and character-wise, this is not this movie's strongest suit. There's a lot of, I think, other things that are good. You do establish a monster who does end up getting killed at the end of it. I'll still recommend it. I think there's effects-wise and a few other things. There's still something in this movie. Again, just know that you're getting monsters in this movie. And you may not feel great about it from start to finish, but yeah, there's still some very interesting stuff there. So yeah, I'll recommend Hollow Man. There it is.
All right, split vote on Hollow Man.
I'm not going to celebrate Hollow Man, but yeah, I'll recommend it. You should watch it.
Did we establish, was it the last Jerry Goldsmith score? It's toward the end.
If hold on, if there's two people in Hollow Men 2, why is it not just called Hollow Men?
That's a dun, great dun, dun. Question.
Good Peter opportunity.
I guess we'll have to bring it and watch it. Oh, Peter Facinelli. Yeah.
He's holding a camcorder in this still we're looking
at. No.
Watch it.
Yeah. Did you guys ever watch Home Improvement? He was in Home Improvement as a little annoying kid for a couple of
years.
Really? Oh, yeah. He was
I didn't know that.
He was always the guy in Fastlane. You remember from Mick G?
Yeah. They did one season of Fastlane. Him, another guy, and Tiffany Amber Thiessen were in it.
Yeah. Fastlane.
I mean, my first introduction to him was Can't Hardly Wait.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Before he became Twilight Man.
Trip McNeely. Jerry O'Connell's Trip McNeely.
That was Jerry O'Connell's character, but yeah.
Yeah, but he's like fucking Trip McNeely, man. God, I fucking love that movie.
Wear flip-flops in the shower. I got warts all over my feet.
So good. God, Jerry O'Connell.
And then obviously Dr. Cullen. Twilight.
Of course.
So the question is, are we watching Hollow Men 2 next week? It's going to be up to...
Holly. What are we going to watch? What are we watching next
week? We're going to watch Twilight. I'm just kidding. We're going to watch a movie that Michaela and I have both talked about back and forth for a while now. We're going to watch To Die For.
Gus Van Sant.
Oh, the Gus Van Sant. Okay.
Nicole Kidman. Okay, all right.
Based on the Pamela Smart case. Yeah.
Nicole Kidman, Joaquin Phoenix.
Okay, I think I've seen probably a few scenes of this movie. I don't know. Awesome. Joaquin Phoenix, you said?
Yep.
Interesting. Okay, cool.
All right.
What year?
95.
Okay. Coming to Criterion soon.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
So your opportunity to get it in 4K probably. All right.
Most likely.
To Die For next week on the Saturday Night Freak Show. We hope you'll join us. And until then, ladies and germs, the basement is going dark.